You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition...
Why would God not destroy them, like the Reformers tell us? Why would God not make them feel the pain? Why would God not do that? Because God is a God of love. God is a God of compassion. God is a God of mercy. And God says in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That everlasting love is forever. It doesn't stop. And it hasn't stopped for Israel.
Good parents don't stop loving their children just because they mess up. In today's edition of Worship Life Radio, Pastor Holland explains that God hasn't abandoned the nation of Israel. Even when they rejected him and worshiped other gods, God has faithfully loved his chosen people. As you keep unpacking how God will judge the world, you'll see that he'll continue to draw his people to himself. His love for them and for you isn't contingent on their behavior, but is rooted in his faithfulness. Let's join Pastor Holland in the book of Revelation chapter 19 as he continues his message, The Day of the Lord.
But notice the outcome of the Antichrist. It says, he shall be broken without human means. In other words, humanity will not be able to defeat him. No army on earth will be able to defeat him. He will command all power, but he will be defeated supernaturally. And John writes about the supernatural defeat of the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 19. He says in verse 11 and following, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That's you and I who believe in Jesus, you and I who have been raptured. That's why I tell people, we're going to be coming on our white horses, so you might as well get horse riding lessons right now and learn how to ride that horse. We don't want you falling off the horse in the middle of battle, because it'll be a little embarrassing, and we'll put you at the back of the line. But he says in verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself, Jesus, treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Imagine the arrogance of someone that would make war against Jesus who was coming down out of heaven. But that's the arrogance that Pharaoh had when he made war against God after God revealed himself to Pharaoh through 9 plagues. He still made war against God. And we know what happened to him, and it's going to happen to the Antichrist. We're going to read about it right here. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Just one word from Jesus. Just one word from Jesus. All the armies of the Antichrist are wiped out. Just like one breath from God, one word from God, and all the armies of Pharaoh were wiped out in one single moment. And the Bible says that Jesus will set up his literal kingdom on earth, and he will reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, for a millennium. Satan will be bound, the nations will be at peace, and there will be no more war. Creation will be at peace. It says the lion and the lamb will lie down together. And Jesus will reign in righteousness and justice. And finally, the cry for justice in the world will be answered. And he will teach the world his word, and he will teach them his ways. That's a Bible study I can't wait to hear. There's a lot of great teachers in the world today. I love listening to them. But man, to hear Jesus unfold and expound the scriptures and tell us what they really say, that's going to be amazing. And he will judge the nations and judge righteously. And great prosperity and abundance will fill the earth. The whole world will gather in Jerusalem to celebrate the Festival of Booths, known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And every home will celebrate the Passover. That's one of the reasons why we celebrate the Passover today, because we want to be able to know what to do when we get into the millennium. And finally, the world will experience God's purpose and plan for man on earth. This will be what God had always intended for life to be, and it will be a time of great joy and great blessing. The final aspect of the day of the Lord is found in Exodus 14. After the Red Sea crossing, after God has delivered them from Egypt and completely wiped out the Egyptian army, in verse 30 of Exodus 14, we read, "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. And so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant." And here's the final aspect I want to bring up for today's message. And that is, in the day of the Lord, Israel will be restored. Israel will be restored to her relationship with God. You know, it's interesting in the scriptures that Israel is referred to as the bride of God. In the New Testament, the church, the Gentile church, is referred to as the bride of Christ. But Israel is also a bride, the bride of God. And when Israel sees the great work that God does, when they see the great deliverance that God has accomplished, it says the people will fear the Lord. And whenever you see that, they're fearing the Lord. It's not a term of fear like we're afraid of the Lord. It's a term of worship. It's a term of reverence. It's a term of adoration. It's a term of awe. And when they see what God has done in that day, in the last day, the day of the Lord, God's deliverance, they will be filled with awe, and they will worship the Lord, and they will believe the Lord and his servant. His servant. Who is the Lord's servant? Well, here in the text, it's Moses. But what's interesting is that Moses is a type of Jesus. And so when he's referring to Moses here, it's a type of Jesus. He's saying that they will believe in the Lord and they will believe in his servant, Jesus. Israel will finally believe in Jesus. You know, the Bible says that they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as for an only son. You know, when the nation of Israel sees Jesus, they will return to the Lord. And I believe this is going to happen on Yom Kippur, the National Day of Atonement. You know, it's interesting. Every feast in the Bible corresponds with a prophetic event in Scripture. The spring feasts have all been fulfilled. The feast of unleavened bread is when Jesus rose from the dead. The Passover is when Jesus was crucified. Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, is when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. There's three feasts in the fall. There's the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, and there's Yom Kippur. The Feast of Tabernacles has been fulfilled because that's the day when Jesus was born, when God tabernacled amongst us. And so that feast has been fulfilled. There are two more feasts that have yet to be fulfilled. One is the Feast of Trumpets, and the other is Yom Kippur, the National Day of Atonement. I believe the rapture of the church will happen around the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets, when the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together, caught away, snatched out of this place. I can't wait for that day. And then the Yom Kippur, when Jesus will return in his second coming, I believe, and all of Israel will return to the Lord. And on that day, Israel will finally experience the full extent of the covenant that God made with Abraham. They'll have the full extent of the land that God promised them. They'll enter into the full blessing that God had always intended for them to experience. And they will experience the blessing of Messiah, who will reign in Jerusalem. It will be a glorious day.
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse. And we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
Now, what's the point of this message? Why does it matter? Why do we talk about these things today? One simple reason. When you consider the faithfulness of God, when you consider the fact of how faithful God is to Israel. Throughout history, God has been faithful to Israel. And it's not because Israel is faithful to God. You know, we see in Scripture where Israel turned to idolatry. They turned to the worship of other gods. And because of that, they were taken into captivity. And once they were taken into captivity, never again were they restored as a nation. They were always occupied by foreign governments. Until we come to the time of Jesus, they're occupied by the Romans. And Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. Not one stone would be left upon another. And that happened in 70 AD. And from that time, the diaspora, the Jews were scattered out of Israel. But the Lord made a promise to Israel. And he said, I will call you back into the land, and I will restore you. And that began in 1948, when the nation of Israel was once again established. A miracle. Overnight, a nation established, recognized by the world. Who could do that? Only God can do that. And so every time we go to Israel, would it be awesome if we're in Israel when the Lord returns, calls us up. Being raptured from the Temple Mount, it's not a bad thing. They say that, you know, you can pray anywhere in the world, but on the Temple Mount, it's a local call. Because they believe that God lives on the Temple Mount to this day. The presence of God dwells there. But here's the reality. When you go there and you see the nation of Israel and you see how God has blessed a nation, you see the faithfulness of God. To this day, 46% of the population consider themselves secular Jews. They don't worship the one true and living God. And yet God is still faithful to them. And God promises to restore them to their former glory. Now, why would God do this? Why would God not punish them with his wrath? Why would God not destroy them, like the reformers tell us? Why would God not make them feel the pain? Why would God not do that? Because God is a God of love. God is a God of compassion. God is a God of mercy. And God says in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That everlasting love is forever. It doesn't stop. And it hasn't stopped for Israel. And he says, therefore, I have drawn you into loving kindness. I have drawn you with my loving kindness. And here's a people that were taken into captivity, who worshiped other gods. And yet God still blesses them. God still protects them. God still fights for them. And what this tells me is that how much more will God do for you who believe, you who have surrendered your life to Jesus, you who are part of the family of God, you who have been born again, born of the Spirit, you in whom the Spirit of God dwells, the presence of God dwells, you in whom have been set aside, set apart for his glory, for him to glorify himself through you. How much more will he protect you? How much more will he forgive you? How much more will he bless you? How much more will he fight for you? There's a lot of people quoting scriptures, good scriptures, scriptures like fear not, scriptures like he's not giving you a spirit of fear. Usually it's more like he's not giving you a spirit of fear. Great verses. But they miss the point. Because we're not in a time where we have to grit our teeth and try not to be afraid. This is not a time where we gotta put up walls to one another because we're afraid of the plague that's come upon Egypt. I'm not afraid because I know that God loves me. I know that he loves me. And I know that God is powerful. And because God loves me, God promises to protect me. God promises to fight for me. And even if I get sick, God promises to heal me. But actually in the scripture, what it says is God is my health. He is my health. And it's his power that surrounds me. And no weapon that's formed against me will prosper. So I can rest in his power. I can rest in his love. I can rest in him. That doesn't mean I go out and do crazy stuff. That doesn't mean I go out and start playing in the middle of the freeway because God loves me, he's going to protect me. That's foolishness. But what it does mean is that I don't have to be overcome by fear. I don't have to be angered in my heart. I can be filled with the love of Jesus because I belong to him. I'm his child. And he doesn't allow evil to befall me. He doesn't use evil for his purposes or his plans. He doesn't need evil to do that. And as we saw in Exodus 15, God is a genius. He's a master strategist. He's the smartest guy on the planet. And when evil comes my way to destroy, God outsmarts the enemy. And he uses it for my good. He uses it to bless. He uses it to bless me. He uses it to bless others through me. And so what I'm looking for in every situation is Jesus. I'm looking for where he's moving, where he's acting, what he's doing. And I'm being a part of that. You see, only God can do that. Only God can take what the enemy throws at you for destruction and catch it in the air and turn it around and make it a blessing to you. Only God can do that. And when you're in uncertain times, you don't exchange what you know for what you don't know. There's a lot we don't know about the world today. There's a lot we don't know about this coronavirus. There's a lot we don't know. What we do is we trust in what we do know. God is victorious in battle. And we are in a battle right now. And God says, no weapon formed against me, no weapon formed against you will prosper. God says, if you listen carefully, if you do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands, if you keep all his decrees, God said, I will put none of these diseases of the Egyptians on you, for I am the Lord who heals you. Not makes you sick, but heals you. Now you might say, well, that's a big if. I don't know if I can do that. He says here, if you listen carefully, I don't always listen to the Lord. I don't always do what's right in his eyes. I don't always pay attention to his commands. I don't always keep his decree. That's it. I'm sunk. I'm dust. There's no help for me. I don't obey God perfectly. And here's the truth. None of us can. None of us can obey God perfectly. None of us can do all the things that God requires of us. But there is one who did. There is one who has listened carefully. There is one who has done everything that is right in God's eyes. There is one who paid attention to every one of God's commands. There's one who kept all of his decrees. And that one is Jesus. And Jesus obeyed God perfectly, and his perfect obedience is credited to the account of every person who places their trust and their faith in him. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you put your trust in Jesus, God looks at you and he says, you're perfect. You've done everything I've asked you to do. You say, Lord, I've done nothing. You've done the only thing that mattered, and that is you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've placed your trust in him. Here's the question. Have you surrendered to Jesus? Have you placed your life in his hands? Have you entrusted your life to him? Every one of us has a beginning date. Every one of us has an end date, and only God knows when that end date is. And that end date is in his hand. And it's going to happen with or without a coronavirus. It's going to happen. We're all going to meet the Lord. The question is, how are we going to meet the Lord? Are you going to meet him as a friend? Or are you going to meet him as an enemy? The governor of California says over half of California will be infected with the coronavirus. Who do you believe? Do you believe the governor? Or do you believe the one who said, I will put none of these diseases of the Egyptians on you, for I am the Lord who heals you? If you believe the governor, then follow him. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How about you? Friends, we want you to know how special you are to us, but more importantly, we want you to know how special you are to God. God loves you, and he gave everything for you so that you could have eternal life. His son Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven and you could know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Why don't you pray this simple prayer, mean it with all your heart, and make that decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Forgive me for living my life without you. I don't want to live without you anymore. I want to live for you. Forgive me for breaking your law, and fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life. And if you pray that prayer, you can have the assurance that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And I look forward to spending that eternity with you.
You've been listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis. As we wrap up today's message, we want to give you the opportunity to partner with us in ministry. This radio broadcast is, in a way, a virtual mission field. We're praying that every time a message is shared, someone's heart is drawn to Jesus. We pray for grace to be known and for lives to be changed. Would you join us in lifting up your fellow listeners to the Lord? Ask God to protect them and draw them closer with each moment they listen. There's one more way you can partner with us too. Would you prayerfully consider financially supporting Worship Life Radio? Every amount given, no matter the size, will be used to spread the gospel message, and we're so grateful for it. You can find out more and donate securely online at calvarysanclemente.org. Just click on Give. Thanks for partnering with us here at Worship Life Radio. Do you live in the San Clemente area? If so, we'd love to have you join us for worship at Calvary Chapel San Clemente. We meet every Sunday at 8 and 10 a.m., and we have a Bible study on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. that you're welcome to be a part of, too. Come for a time of singing praises, learning from the Bible, and being with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you can't come in person just yet, that's okay. You can still be a part of our church online through our website. Find out more at calvarysanclemente.org. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to join us next time for another edition of Worship Life Radio.
Every one of us is on a journey of grace. God wants you to be free and full of joy. Pastor Holland's message series, A Journey of Grace, will help you discover how to live the abundant life that Jesus promises to give you today. Order your personal copy of A Journey of Grace at worshipliferadio.com.